more and more we're getting processors that are doing parallel, more and more parallel tasks. There's already, you just mentioned, plenty of storage. So at some point, we do arrive at something we would call artificial intelligence. And that point would be when you cannot distinguish a conversation you're having?
Well, so artificial intelligence is just a field of research. If you want to say, I guess you would call that general purpose human level intelligence, because so many people work on problems where they make really smart algorithms that learn really fast and do their job really well. So, for instance, every time if you've got a newer model car, or at least not an ancient car, when you hit the brakes,
right.
If you've got an anti-lock brake system, you've more than likely got a neural network that's sitting in between you and the actual brakes. When you push down on the pedal, you're really just pushing a button, and the button tells a neural network, the human wants to slow the car down, and then it figures out how to slow the car down. Because honestly, as a human, you're not as good as it is at actually stopping your car. You'll wreck your car. The anti-lock brakes will keep you from wrecking your car because it knows more about braking than you do. And it's learning all the time. And you know what? It's really good at that very specific problem. Could it talk to you? No. Is it in any way resemble human intelligence? Not really at all. But it is AI.
It is the crudest form, I suppose, of the beginning of AI. And in future years, they expect to get to the point where cars will drive themselves and you'll be nothing but a passenger, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, I wouldn't say that it's the crudest form of AI, because it gets much cruder.
Okay.
But we've already got unmanned ground vehicles. So these are called UGVs. And I don't know if you remember, out in Nevada, I think it was in 2005, they had the DARPA Grand Challenge.
Yes, and it didn't go that well, did it?
The first one did not go that well. The top car was actually from Carnegie Mellon, and it made it about 7 miles before it high-ended on a rock and broke an axle. The next year, after 12 months, I think at least 5 cars finished. They were actually passing each other. I think the head car, the winner, was from Stanford. I should mention that the guys behind the head car had just left Carnegie Mellon to go to Stanford, so a little school pride there.
Okay.
But anyway, Stanford beat us out. It was humiliating. And their car, it was just a modified Volkswagen Touareg. And the cars these days are so drive-by-wire, which they're just controlled by a computer that's sitting inside the car that can actually brake and accelerate and do all these other things as part of different safety features. The car could actually, they just tapped right into that. They just tapped right into the computer, and then they put a bunch of sensors on the car, and it went 130 miles into something. I forget, like 10 hours or something like that. It had an average speed of 30 or 40, but this is over just rough terrain. There were cliffs. Really amazing. And next year, or actually later this year, they're kicking up the stakes, and now they're not going to be racing out in the empty desert. Where there, no humans were allowed anywhere near these cars, right?
Sure, sure.
Who gets blamed, when somebody gets hurt? This year, they're going to be doing it in a mock urban environment. So it's really clear, it's really obvious what DARPA is going for. And, that is unmanned ground vehicles that can operate in crowded urban environments with following street signs, everything.
And I imagine DARPA imagines weapons of all kinds on these vehicles.
this is all really publicly available stuff. So it's called the Future Combat Systems.
Yes.
And so if you look in there and you look and see what UGVs are called for, they're not primarily weapons platforms. One of them is a mobile ambulance that actually. So there's no place for a human to sit in these things. It makes them much more efficient. They can go further with less fuel. And so what this thing's supposed to do is go out on a battlefield, find a hurt soldier, open, a little door opens,
right.
And it drags the guy in there. And while the person is in this little, basically a mobile coffin, there are robotic arms that are being teleoperated by surgeons, back in the States. And so you have someone ideally doing surgery, whatever has to be done on this poor soldier, to, you know, while he's getting taken out of danger.
Better to think of it as a mobile ambulance. Coffin is a little...
Yeah. You know, I'm not gonna be the guy writing.
Remember Forbidden Planet, the movie?
Yes.
Okay. Robbie the Robot and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
All right. When I was young, I went to see Forbidden Planet with my dad, and we all thought that by now, you know, I'm beginning to get long in the tooth here, we'd have Robbie and more, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
How come? What happened? What went wrong?
Well, so, you know, the field of artificial intelligence, really, they thought they were, they made some wild predictions early on because they had some early successes. Some of the very first times that people tried their hands at AI, they were able to get some really great results. They had programs that could solve, prove equations on their own. So they're, I mean, that seems really smart. They
yes.
could play chess. You know, mm-hmm. they could beat a human at chess, right?
This, oh, yes.
This is a very, you know, you have to be a real smart person to play chess, right? It's, you know, it's very cerebral. What they found out was that all this high-level thought, all this, all these very, with a lot of, you know, games where you have a lot of rules, or math where you have, again, a lot of rules, this is the natural domain for machines, just because you program them with rules. It's not natural for humans. That's why we think it's so hard.
Well, it's a mechanical part of it, though, that didn't come through.
Yeah. So if, you know, and so it's everything, essentially it's everything a two-year-old can do is what was really hard. So recognizing shapes and colors, getting up and walking, learning how to walk after you fall down, learning to recognize speech, learning to recognize faces, social stuff, you know, all that stuff, really, really hard. And as it turns out, if you look at the human brain, there's just huge areas of the brain that are devoted to all these things. There's the motor cortex, all the vision stuff up in the front, you know.
We now, of course, have very good facial recognition software.
You know, it's okay. It's not that great. They tried to, it's not general purpose, right? It's really good if you limit the domain. Again, so speech, face recognition works really well if you, there's this program out there that will label all your photos, you know. So you give it all your digital photos, and it goes through there and puts a... writes the name of everybody that's in the photo, so you can say, show me all the pictures of me and grandma.